Family and friends gathering tonight to remember a murdered 19-year-old. New at 7, why his sister says the charges filed in this case are not enough.
Getting cooler and staying cloudy into the weekend. Which day has the best chance for spotty showers?
Then WRAL goes in depth on the debate over giving gifts to a child's teacher. Does it create special treatment? And how much is too much, according to the school board?
Tonight, renewed calls of justice for a 19-year-old shot and killed in Franklin County. Right now, dozens of people are gathering for a vigil honoring Hamilton Woods Jr., who was murdered in January. Thanks for joining us. I'm Ashley Rowe.
And I'm Dan Haggerty. This is a picture of Woods. His family says the second-degree murder charges two young men face in his killing are just not enough.
WRAL's Aaron Thomas is live in Wake Forest, where the candlelight vigil is being held. Aaron, you spoke with his sister tonight.
That's right, Ashley, and as you can imagine, it was a pretty emotional conversation as that sister still grieves the loss of her brother nearly 1 year later. There was up to 100 people that gathered here in front of Wake Forest Town Hall, but within the past 5 minutes, most of them disbanded, and now you have a few people that are still left over. After speaking with many of the family members and friends, a lot of them are still searching for answers in this investigation. On your screen is 19-year-old Hamilton Woods Jr., who was shot and killed back in January in Franklin County by two people investigators say knew him. This vigil tonight, attended by family and friends, is a way to remember Hamilton's life and to take a stance against violence. Now, a total of four people face charges in connection to shooting him, but it's two people, Gavin Miller and Dylan Piper, who face second-degree murder charges. Hamilton's sister expressed disappointment in this part of the investigation.
Is second-degree murder enough at this point?
No, especially not for the shooter. No. Second degree is not enough because from what we heard, what we know, he deserved first degree. He knew what he was doing. He knew what he came there to do, and he took a life.
So here's where the investigation stands at this point. A special prosecutor is assigned to this investigation after rumors that one of the suspect's family members has ties to the court system. On our late news, we're going to continue this ongoing investigation. We did reach out to the defense attorneys for some of the suspects. We are still waiting to hear back at this point. Ashley?
Aaron Thomas, live in Wake Forest. Thank you.
Scotland Neck is under a state of emergency due to a rash of shootings that have hit the town in the last few days. In less than 2 hours, all businesses have to shut their doors and a curfew goes into effect. In the last 3 days, two juveniles were shot in separate shootings. That's on top of 10 to 15 shots fired calls, including one last night where officers were shot at and nearly hit. One of those officers was the interim police chief. Multiple agencies have had to come in and assist after all of this. The curfew will remain in effect until next Thursday morning.
Taking a live look in downtown Durham right now, you know, we are really seeing a major drop in temperatures tonight. We're also tracking some rain chances for your weekend. Meteorologist Kat Campbell is in the WRAL Severe Weather Center with a timeline for us, Kat.
We've got the potential for some rain again over the weekend, but it really depends on where you live. Our southern counties are going to have the best shot. For your Friday night, we're starting to dry out. Just a few little areas of drizzle left around Cumberland County and Sampson County, but we're dry here around the Triangle. So your Friday night looks good in terms of the radar being quiet. However, it is much cooler outside this evening by 9 o'clock, 49 degrees. So if you are headed out and about, make sure that you are bringing your jacket with you tonight. Quite the adjustment from the 80s we just saw yesterday. The cold front that we've been tracking that brought the cooler air, it is getting stuck. It is stalling toward the South Carolina line. And it's near that front that we're going to have the best chance for some light rain over the weekend. The good news is that the rain will be very light, so low impact overall in our southern counties, but it stays cool and cloudy even if it's not raining. I'll have a closer look at those locations that could see the rain on future casts coming up.
Okay, Kat, thank you.
A man faces charges in connection with a deadly crash in Raleigh. This happened on Spring Forest Road yesterday, shortly before 3 p.m. Police tell us 38-year-old Rodney Lee was driving eastbound in an SUV, ran a red light, and then collided with a car driven by 67-year-old Mary Garris. Garris died. Her husband, Mark, was taken to the hospital. No word on his injuries. Police charged Lee with misdemeanor, death by motor vehicle, and failure to stop at a steady red light. Skeletal remains found in Fayetteville last month belonged to a man missing since 2018. The medical examiner determined those remains belonged to the person on your screen, 19-year-old Devontae Lawrence. His cause of death was not released. However, police say it's no longer considered a homicide investigation.
A major section of Oberlin Road between Poland Road and Clark Avenue is now closed. Crews are replacing sewer and water mains. Access will be available to businesses and homes in the construction zone. All other traffic will be detoured onto Woodburn Road and Enterprise Street. Democrats in Ohio, Virginia, Kentucky, and Pennsylvania scored some big victories in elections this week. That's a trend we're seeing in other states, too, including in North Carolina, but not in the areas you might expect. WRAL Capital Bureau Chief Laura Leslie talked to experts about what it might mean for next year's elections.
Democrats had a really good election day in parts of North Carolina where that hasn't happened in years. These were smaller, nonpartisan municipal races, but experts say it could point to a trend for 2024.
While Democrats in places like Ohio and Kentucky were celebrating statewide victories, Democrats here were celebrating smaller but maybe more surprising ones, like Huntersville, a reliably Republican suburb of Charlotte, where Democrats swept the city council and mayor's races.
That was a pretty much a shockwave throughout that urban suburb area of Mecklenburg County.
Catawba College political scientist Michael Bitzer says that's never happened before.
Whether that portends to how those urban suburbs will go in 2024, we'll just have to kind of wait and see. But that's kind of potentially a canary in the coal mine.
Huntersville wasn't the only surprise. Democrats swept races in New Hanover County, which is politically evenly divided. They won the mayor's race in High Point, a seat that's been Republican for many years. And they swept council races in small towns in deep red counties across the state.
I was making a list earlier this morning of all the cities and towns where Democrats ran and won, and it sounded like the old Greyhound bus terminal.
Gary Pierce is a longtime Democratic strategist. He credits new Democratic Party chairwoman Anderson Clayton for recruiting and backing the candidates for those small races. He also thinks anger over abortion laws helped turn out voters.
It's given Democrats a huge psychological boost and confidence, as well as experience, looking toward next year.
State Republican Party spokesman Jeff Moore says Republicans had plenty of wins to celebrate, too, like the mayor's race in Greenville. We look forward to reaching voters across the state with a winning message, Moore said, as we work toward the 24 election cycle. Laura Leslie, WRAL News, Raleigh.
Kempower is building a manufacturing facility for EV chargers in Durham, expected to bring in hundreds of jobs and more than $40 million in investment to the state. The Finland-based company will produce fast EV chargers that can accommodate more vehicles than traditional infrastructure. The facility is expected to be operational by the end of the year and plans to be carbon neutral by 2035. One of Kempower's new hires is technician Chung Thatch, a Marine Corps veteran.
It was an honor for me to serve, and I love that. But me starting a new family, I had to get away and find a new career path. And Kempower offered me that, coming out, becoming a civilian again, and it was a great experience.
Kempower says it plans to have 100 employees at that Durham location by the end of the year, and then 300 by the end of next year.
Today, Johnston County Schools honored those who served our country with its annual Veterans Day celebration. Dozens of military veterans filled the Smithfield Selma High School for this special tribute. Students sang and gave speeches to the servicemen. Johnston County Schools has hosted this event for 19 years.
So there soon could be a limit on how much money parents can give teachers in our area. You maybe have heard about this new policy Wake County is considering right now. Coming up, we're going to take a closer look at what would and what would not be allowed under these new rules and why the state's largest school system sees this as a priority when we go in depth next. And taking a live look at Cary, people out there on the ice rink in Fenton. Those temperatures are dropping fast at this hour. Meteorologist Kat Campbell has a timeline on some rain chances this weekend. That's coming up. So, Christmas is going to be expensive this year, don't you think? I'm getting nervous about it. I'm starting to budget for it. I know you are, too. One thing, a question you should ask yourself, though, is how much you should spend on a gift for your kid's teacher. Also, does a bigger gift get your kid a leg up over a family that doesn't have the money? Let's go in depth and see how deep these pockets go. So, So right now, according to Wake County Schools, whatever you give should be of, quote, nominal value. But what is nominal exactly? What's the definition of that? Doesn't really help you that much, does it? I mean, nominal to who? To the teacher? To the parents? Either way, it seems pretty subjective. Now, according to most surveys I could find, like this one from one of my favorite websites, SheKnows.com, most gifts range somewhere between $10 and $50. Now, my dad, he was a teacher for like 40 years, so I decided to ask him. I sent him a text and just said, you know, hey, Dad, what was one of the most valuable or one of the best gifts you ever got from a student? And he texted me back and said, Brad Paisley carved me a deer on a tree fungus once, otherwise a $50 Tim Hortons gift certificate. First of all, what? Brad Paisley, country music superstar, Grammy winning Brad Paisley carved you a deer out of a tree fungus? And this is the first I'm hearing about it. Also, who still gives gift certificates? Do those still exist? Anyhow, the Wake County School Board wants to end the debate, and they set a limit, a max amount that you can give. And they discussed it at a recent meeting, landing at the amount of $75. They explained it to me further like this, saying in part in an email, this policy puts in place structures to prevent the perception of paying for grades or favors, implying that teachers can be bought or influenced with lavish gifts. One member of the board who previously taught at a private school gave an example of one of these over-the-top gestures. We'll play it. You might have to pay attention to the subtitles here. Listen.
You know, from my own experience, I worked at a private school where they also had this problem where one of our teachers was gifted a free flight to anywhere in the United States.
Pretty nice. So, okay, think of it this way. If you're a teacher and there's a kid going through your school who may give you a huge gift, like a plane ticket to anywhere, would that influence the way that you treat them? I spoke to one teacher who said, no way.
I can speak for a lot of teachers that is not the expectation that we have, that if depending on the amount that a family gives, that that's the amount we support their children. That's so ridiculous.
That's Turquoise Parker. She's at Lakewood Elementary School in Durham. She found the whole thing to be insulting. Says it has nothing to do with money either. It's about the principle.
The thing that this is doing is trying to place blame on families instead of bringing this back to the people on Jones Street. If you would fully fund public schools and you would give teachers the pay that they deserve, we might not have to talk about something small like families giving us gift cards.
Okay, so it has a little bit to do with money, right? We're always talking about teachers and funding education is a much bigger ball of wax. If you'd like to have that conversation, we can talk about it. But for a little bit of context, the National Education Association does rank North Carolina 46th in the country at starting salaries for new teachers and 36th overall for average salaries. They also found that about 90% of teachers nationwide go out of pocket for classroom supplies, spending an average of $500 a year of their own money on stuff for school and your kids, which may be what inspires you to be so generous when it comes to a gift or over the holidays. So, how can you appreciate your kid's teacher without making it seem like you're bribing them? Well, there are lots of ways. First, you could donate supplies. There's no limit to this. If you want to spend $1,000 on dry erase markers and donate it to the class, please go do it. Second, you can give a group gift. Get together with another parent or a group of parents. You can pool your money and give whatever you want as long as it's not coming from an individual. There is no limit. You can also give more frequently if that's your thing. This rule, new rule, if it is actually applied, would be $75 per gift. So give a gift a day if you'd like, if that's your thing. Lastly, how did they land at $75 exactly? Well, they think that is a fair number. It's not too high, it's not too low, kind of the Goldilocks amount, which reminds me, if you're one of those people who gives some folksy gift that a Goldilocks would like a homemade porridge in an artisan bowl that you bought at the fair, or some generic Starbucks mug with ground Pike Place jammed inside, wrapped in cellophane, most teachers do not like that. They want gift cards, mostly. If you don't believe me, do like one Google search. There's a million write-ups about it. Some schools will even send you a wish list that teachers have so you know exactly what it is that they want, what they need, what they don't need. And yes, Ashley, my dad did teach Brad Paisley in the sixth grade, in the 80s, in an art class. And if you're curious, there are many types of tree fungus. This is one example. It's called a bracket fungus. You can carve it, then it will dry and harden. It's a country thing, all right? And don't forget, this segment is a community thing. It gives all of you at home an opportunity to ask questions. Put us to work for you. That is why we are here. Email me at dan@wral.com. Let me know what is on your mind, and we will go in depth. The school board, Ashley, will make its final vote on this gift limit sometime in the near future.
I like that Brad Paisley at least stuck to the theme. You know, art class, I'm going to make him an art thing.
My dad actually said Brad Paisley was a very talented little artist. Go figure.
I want to interview your dad. All right. And Dan, by the way, that Durham teacher you spoke with, you know, Turquoise Parker,
yes,
she's going to be featured on NBC's The Wall tonight.
I know. Can you believe that?
Yeah. The show spotlights people doing big work in their communities. She and her husband could win $1 million. The Wall airs tonight at 8 o'clock right here on WRL. You got to watch. Yeah. We're all rooting for you. Boy, it is getting cooler out there. If you're going to one of the Friday night football games, you might want to bring a blanket with you because temperatures are dropping, Kat.
They are. This is a well-forecast cold front. We've been telling you about it all week. We knew the 80s wouldn't last. We're at 48 now in Roxboro, 53 in the Triangle, 54 in Fayetteville and Clinton. It's going to feel a bit more like ice skating weather, though, in Fenton this weekend. You can see the Zamboni out on the ice earlier. They had a lot of people ice skating. Certainly better weather for it. And there's also the Holiday Makers Market tomorrow. Can't rule out a sprinkle, mainly to our south. I really think Fenton should be in okay shape, but we've got that small chance early. Otherwise, temperatures in the 50s into the early afternoon. If you're headed out that way, there's also the Crossroads Plaza tree lighting ceremony happening. Temperatures will be in the 50s for the event. So make sure that you are bundled up. And we've got a lot of those festive events on the way, especially as we get toward next weekend. Starting tomorrow, the Raleigh Christmas Parade will be on our 7-day forecast. The rain is starting to clear out of our area, pushing to the south and east. But the cold front is getting stuck across the North Carolina-South Carolina border. And now that it's stalling out, it's going to act as that corridor for these waves of rain to move in from southwest, the Gulf of Mexico, up to the northeast. So you may wake up to some very light rain tomorrow if you live in Fayetteville, Rayford, Clinton, our southernmost counties. That could extend as far north as Goldsboro. At this point, it's fairly unlikely that the Triangle would see it, but we've still got that small chance. And then into the evening, a small chance of a sprinkle in our southern counties. This is not going to be a pouring rain. This won't be anything significant, just some light rain that really won't add up to much in your rain gauge. Better rain chances Sunday are going to be at the North Carolina coast, though we may still see some light rain across the southern half of our viewing area Sunday, and this model is just too optimistic on clearing out the clouds. I don't expect the clouds to clear out like that on Sunday, unfortunately. Your forecast rainfall over the next 5 days, up to a quarter, maybe perhaps half an inch of rain closer to the coast. Beneficial rain there, but even in Fayetteville or southern counties that have that better chance of seeing some additional rain this weekend, 10th of an inch and 100th of an inch around the Triangle. So really not any kind of significant rain around here. Tomorrow, our high should be around 60 for Veterans Day, just 55 on Sunday. Next week, though, it is feeling like November. High temperatures will be in the 60s. I do think that we're going to see a lot of upper level clouds linger in the area next week.
A Fayetteville woman dedicated to helping veterans is up for a national honor.
I love this. Stacey Buckner is a CNN hometown hero. She's is in the running to become the National Hometown Hero of the Year. Her nonprofit organization called Off-Road Outreach provides countless services for homeless veterans, like creating a veggie garden, fitting her Jeep with a mobile shower for homeless vets, and delivering clothing, food, and other necessities.
We don't just serve veterans that are homeless. We also serve veterans who may need peer support, may need financial assistance, employment sources, all of that. We do complete wraparound services.
There's some good people out there, aren't there?
Amazing.
Oh my gosh. So you can vote for Buckner for the Hero of the Year Award through CNN's website. The winner will be announced Sunday, December 10th. And while you're on there voting, today is the last day that you can vote for a Raleigh restaurant to be named Kelly Clarkson's Good Neighbor of the Year.
A Place at the Table is nominated for the award. We've been telling you about this week. The restaurant's owner, Maggie Kane, appeared on the show earlier this year and then once again this week. Anyone is welcome to eat at A Place at the Table and can pay what they can, donate, volunteer, or pay it forward. voting is happening on the Kelly Clarkson Show's Instagram story.
You should head in there if you haven't been. It's great. The people are great. The food is really good. Yeah, it's an awesome place.
Oh, cool. Hey, the Carolina Hurricanes are marking another milestone.
The team's success during the 25th anniversary season was apparently good for business. Sportico released its 2023 NHL valuations ranking, and the Canes were up 59% from this time last year. That's the largest year-over-year growth among any of the league's 32 teams. That's impressive, isn't it? The franchise now worth an estimated $980 million.
Wow.
Let's get them up to a bill.
That is so cool.
You know what
cool.
I mean? Let's get up to $1 billion. Here's something you ought to know.
Oh, I wish you would have sung that. Mm-hmm. Alanis Morissette is going on tour with special guests Joan Jett and the Blackhearts in 2024, and she's making two stops in our state, so you've got another chance to just belt out to Alanis Morissette, Dan.
Okay.
She'll make her way to Charlotte on June 26th, followed by a trip to Raleigh June 27th. Tickets go on sale to the general public next Friday.
I owned Jagged Little Pill.
Oh,
it,
yeah.
It was in my six-disc changer.
Yeah,
it was
nice.
One of the CDs.
So good.
Uh-huh.
So good. Santa Claus, officially in the Triangle.
Right now, St. Nick is at Crabtree Valley Mall in Raleigh. Families can line up to meet him. Get a picture.
Get a picture. Get a picture. Get a picture.
Wow, did you hear that?
Is my voice echoing? Santa Claus.
Happy holidays.
Hey, thanks so much for being with us tonight. We'll see you back here at 10 o'clock and 11 on WREL.
Keep watching WREL News over the Air Channel 34 and Spectrum Channel 1257.